shit. We are here. Another episode of the DNH Podcast coming at you live and in full effect. I am your boy Los, a.k.a. Mr. Crop Circle himself, a.k.a. the fat nigga who love food, a.k.a. the nigga that just ate a cookie. Say what's up to the people, Drew.
Cookies. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Drew, your craft beer connoisseur, your beer god. My children, how are you? What have you been drinking this weekend? What's going on? Huh? How you been?
Hi.
Yo, I want to say shout out to that Taj Mahal that we had last week, man. That was a pretty decent lager that we had.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad at all. Shout out to Mr. Davis on that one.
Shout out to the father-in-law. Going to try to do my best to bring more lagers on the show going forward for this year.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
I can pick up what you're putting down.
Because, you know, we're getting older out here, you know what I'm saying? We can't be getting these old heavy-ass beers, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Speak for yourself, man.
I am. I don't mean that. I don't mean that at all.
So we got another jam-packed episode today. We're going to talk a little bit of relationship styles questions this episode.
The thick plot.
I don't think we've gotten there this year on this one. I mean, we did the Valentine's Day episode,
yeah,
kind of thing. But
that was more like appreciation, love. Right. Now it's like, all right, situations in a relationship, right?
100%, 100%. Yeah. And then, you know, whatever else that pop up in our heads and as we roll through this episode, and you know, we're just gonna dive deep in them. Of course, we got the beer and cigar of the week every week rendition, and then we always gonna kick you with a Black History Fact of the Week. But for right now, let's go ahead and start the show. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. I'm gonna fade this out a little bit. Keep it a little faded.
Well, there it went.
It did.
Nice fade.
My bad. I'm still learning, right? Like, you gotta give me a chance, man. Like, we're what, 6 episodes in? I got it.
You don't got it by now?
I got it, but then I don't got it. Right.
Hey, man.
Like I'm Scottie Pippen, not Jordan yet, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Well, Pippen never became Jordan, so
and he is still pissed off about that, what was it, that Last Dance? Like, he's still mad behind it.
I mean, should he be?
I don't think so. I think, honestly, personally, it's a form of jealousy.
Ooh. See what you did there?
But nonetheless, they had the All-Star Weekend. This is what? Probably about a month removed now. It made me think about it. I saw a picture of Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan standing next to each other. They were embracing at the end of the All-Star game or one of the events.
Yeah, it was they did like the top 75 players, something like that. Yeah.
Right. They all had them sports nice coats. Sports coats, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to the designer that made them. Them joints is phenomenal. He did the same designer that did the 50-year one, did the 75-year.
Nice.
So
nice.
So I was looking at the picture and I was going to post it on Facebook and I don't think I did. Or Instagram or whatever. And growing up, I idolized more of Dennis Rodman than I did of Michael Jordan.
How so?
Dennis Rodman was that workhorse rebounding guy, right?
He was all about defense.
He was defense and like not necessarily all about defense, but he was the player you still kind of he gave the team extra possessions,
yeah.
Right? If they missed a shot, he got the rebound and gave them extra possessions, or he'll dive into the stands damn near to make sure
save the ball, keep it alive,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I feel like that is an integral part of any team, right? Yes, you need your Michael Jordan. Yes, you need your Michael Jordan, the playmaker, the guy, the highlight film, you know, the guy of the team, right? Mm-hmm. Then you need your Steve Kerr. Your pure shooters, you know, the people that take shots from long distance and they are snipers with it and they aim and they hit.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need that workhorse guy who's going to give you 100% blood, sweat, and tears on the court every single day to get that extra sale or that extra possession, you know, and when you want to talk about business and things like that. And I've always been that. I always liked those type of players, like, in the league. Like, another player that come in my head is, like, Willis McGahee.
Okay.
Willis McGahee was a guy that he wasn't always at the top of the stat line, right? Mm-hmm. But he was always respected as a workhorse running back that would, you know, be there for every single down, every single play, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, I always liked those type of players in the league and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. So speaking of jealousy, Jealousy in relationships. Is it a thing for you?
What do you mean? Does it exist? Hell yeah, it exists. Okay. 100%, right? So, now, jealousy can come in forms of different things in a relationship.
Okay, that's true.
Right? You can have the stereotypical jealousy, right, of, you know, this person is ex-girlfriend looks better than the person that you're dating now and the person that you could be jealous of that ex or whatever, or the relationship that you carry with the ex. People do carry relationships sometimes with their previous exes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the jealousy of, you know, I've seen this where it's like a stay-at-home situation and it's just, you know, another person's going out to work and all that kind of stuff while the other person kind of is at home, whether it's the male is at home or the female or the woman's at home, that kind of thing. And they're jealous of the other person that goes out and works and have a life outside of, you know, the other person taking care of the kids or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But jealousy can be a very dangerous feat, right? Do you understand jealousy in a relationship?
Yes and no, right? Okay. Like, it's kind of one of those things, like, when we were younger, yes, jealousy was a thing because we were young, you know what I mean? Right, but now it's like, there are things where, you know, with our relationship, we've definitely discuss things. Mm-hmm. We've brought it out. You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, what makes you jealous? You know what I mean? Because I think the ultimate word that comes with jealousy is lack of communication.
100%.
Right? So you got to make sure that you communicate what makes you jealous. You know what I mean? And be open and honest about it, whether it seems childish or whether it doesn't. Right?
Because when it comes to emotion, even though you think it's childish, because it's your emotion, it's not really a childish feat, right?
Right.
Because you got to stay true to your emotions.
And as the opposite person, as a spouse, you got to be willing to actually hear the person out before you just like laugh the person out or being like, yo, that's childish. You know what I mean? Like, should you say that? Yes, but make sure you deliver it in a nice way, mm-hmm. to where it can be received well, because that's a trigger word that can actually spark an argument. Right. You know what I mean? So both sides got to be willing to hear each other out. And then be able to identify what's actually going on and see, like, well, why is this a big deal to you? And why the other person doesn't see it to be a big deal.
Right.
And then when that happens, then, you know, try to move forward. And the biggest thing is that having that line of respect for one another as well, right. too. So, like, okay, my biggest thing, like, with our relationship is, like, if I don't know something, you know what I mean? You got to tell me because, once again, I can't read your mind. Right. I've said that a lot. But on the flip side, if it's something that I'm doing continuously, you got to point it out to me because I don't recognize what it's actually happening.
Exactly.
But when you say, hey, Drew, this is what I'm talking about.
Right.
Okay, cool. You're right. Let me go ahead and, you know, see what I can do. Or if I can explain my side of the situation better, the reason why I'm doing it or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And just try to find a happy medium and a compromise. Right. Eventually, if it doesn't change, then yes, the jealous person is probably going to get fed up and be like, all right, screw this shit.
Right.
Or
that's if they can communicate well of their emotions. A big thing that you just stated was, you know, they got to communicate.
Right.
You got to communicate what feels wrong, what feels not right, and all that kind of stuff. And if they're unable or if they feel uncomfortable in the relationship to be able to communicate their emotions, how can they fight that? Mm-hmm. Or they're just going to walk around and just hold on to their jealousy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's just one of those things like, How can you work on jealousy and making sure that you're appeasing your significant other? Right. Because here's the thing about it, you know, in marriage, it's like, all right, it's me and you against the world. Like, there is no such thing as divorce. So we got to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
But when you're in, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend relationships, especially not serious ones, you know, you can easily say, all right, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Right.
And it's the matter of trying to be like, okay, are you willing to put in work for this relationship to get to that next step?
Right.
And if you are, you got to be willing to identify what makes people people tick, right?
That's
like
true.
Like certain jealousies, like did that piss that person off to the point to where like they're about to go throw hands at one of your friends,
right?
Because what you're doing is borderline disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also the person that's being jealous, you have to understand you can't be smothering.
Yes.
You can't, you know, have your significant other always feel like they're walking on eggshells when it comes to doing things that's going to appease you,
right.
or totally altering their life or their way of, you know, traveling through life of the things that they want to do, mm-hmm. that makes them the individual that they are.
Right.
Right. So, It's a very tricky, slippery slope.
Yes.
Because you have some very jealous motherfuckers out there.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Right. Like, let's go into that post, right? Like,
okay.
Let's go to the post that kind of sparked this whole kind of conversation or whatever. And
I'm in a black husbands group on Facebook. And I'm just usually, I don't never post in there. I just see what's going on and, you know, see what people are going through and stuff like that. And it's a big avenue for constructive criticism and things of that nature. So a gent said in there, real life situation I'm in. My sister-in-law is friends with a guy my wife has fooled around with. She's throwing a party. Keep in mind, it's about to be 11 years we've been married. So the gent and his wife. And I've never seen this guy. In-laws feel that I should have no problem being around dude, but the way I was raised is different. I can't come to my pops about it because I already know he's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Even asking me about that. What do y'all think? Am I insecure? And there's a lot of typos in here. Am I insecure?
We're reading a Facebook post, so he's typing on the wheel of emotion right now.
Pretty much. So. Yeah. Am I insecure? And just keep in mind that dude was railing my wife is how he ended it, right?
Okay. What was your initial take on reading this? And then I'll tell you mine.
I think he's being insecure.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you've been with your wife for 11 years, right?
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And if everybody has a past.
Yep.
Right? And bygones be bygones. History is history. It is what it is. Because at the end of the day, like, for this gent, I don't know his background. I don't know what he's done. But, you know, let's just think of it on a man's mentality. Motherfucker's probably a dog.
100%. Most likely.
I mean, most likely. And especially if he's getting jealous behind something like that, there's something going on inside.
Right.
That he has either done and he's been in that scenario or put somebody in that type of position.
Okay.
So that's my constructive criticism on it. Okay. But yeah, he's definitely being insecure. If he hasn't had any issues of dealing with his wife stepping out or cheating or anything like that, then I don't see what the big deal is.
Right.
Right?
Okay. So you would have the dinner with the guy?
Yeah. Okay. We go. But also, on silently, I'll be watching and see how interactions are.
Okay.
Right? And then be like, you know, if it's just cordial, it's just friendly, it is what it is, okay, cool. If it's...
What if there's a lot of, like, remember the times type of conversation between them?
Then okay. Then now it becomes a situation. I wouldn't say anything right then and there.
Okay.
Let it ride. Just take mental notes. Call right home. We're going to talk about this thing. Or if we are intoxicated, wait until the next day.
That's a big gem, right?
And
right then and there.
Because I know me, get intoxicated, emotions get bigger. I get in my own head, and then I start fucking just wigging out and all that stuff.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure any other sane man will probably be the exact same way.
Exactly.
So trying to have the notion to bite your tongue, wait until you're sober to actually have this conversation and be better about it.
Right.
And also understand that maybe in this scenario, alcohol is involved. So that's why, you know, questions, people get a little loosey when it comes to letting their hair down and all that shit, right?
Right.
From there, you know, address it. Hey, what's this? Hey, what's that? Mm-hmm. I felt some type of way behind this, etc. We probably need to look at something going forward, right? And the dynamic is that the sister-in-law is now with this man, and they're going to be coming around a lot.
Right.
Or do we need to figure out a way to try to keep the men separated? You know what I mean? Like, is that a role that the wife and the sister should try to, like, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, my husband's kind of pissed off about this. We got to try to, you know, let's keep them distant for a little bit or see what we can do. Or to the point, like, is this serious? If it's not, let's just keep them separated. But if it is serious, then we got to try to work together on this and, you know, sit down or do whatever. I think that's the most responsible thing to do, but that shit ain't going to happen, you know.
Of course not. Of course not.
Too much like Ray. And here's me being an asshole.
Oh, God. Brace yourself, public.
So I'm going through all the comments, and I get it. It's constructive criticism. People being like, yeah, you're insecure, or no, you're not.
Right.
I don't play that, da-da-da-da-da. But my thing is like, yo, the sister and the wife, is kind of, they bang the same dude. And I'm like, nobody's going to acknowledge that. Nobody's going to bring that to light. Like, nobody's going to say, like, hey, bro, like.
He's staying in the family, ain't he?
Pretty much.
I hope it's a small town.
And oh, my God.
It's a small town.
but here's my thing. Like, also, that makes you wonder, like, with the guy, like, what is his M.O.? Because, like, oh, dude, I mess with.
He got a type.
I mess with so-and-so, and now I'm messing with so-and-so's sister. That's it's kind of weird.
No, he got a type, right? Maybe the sisters look similar to each other.
Maybe they're twins. I don't know.
And so,
oh, that's,
you know,
fucked up. That's, yeah, fucked up. Yeah.
I like it, though. Maybe he has a type and he really likes that, you know, the way how the first sister looked might have messed it over, right? Mm-hmm. And try his hand with the second sister. But then the second sister, you got to ask yourself, like, why are you dating this guy? Like, were you secretly watching your sister date this guy?
Exactly.
And be like,
yeah.
Like, oh man, I think he's really hot. Like, I want to date him.
It gets creepy, right? Like, the more that we're peeling back the onion, it gets a little weird. But like, and I wonder if the wife and the sister has already had that conversation. Because, like, you know, sometimes sisters and best friends are like, yo, if I dated him, you can't have him.
Right, exactly.
And the same vice versa.
But that's
right?
That even extends to like cousins and friends and,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, just in general, like that's kind of the code. And it's like I wonder if that question has happened, right? Because like,
what if they had children? What if the first sister had a children?
Like, I don't.
Do you,
I don't
allow that to happen.
Well,
at that point,
that wasn't stated in the post. So I don't want to go down that road, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case because that would have been definitely stated. But like, I'm really wondering, like, did the sisters talk? Did the sisters have that conversation? Like, hey, you know, let's call Buddy Jerome, right? Like, yeah. Hey, you know, Jerome's in the house, you know what I'm saying? And Jerome's sliding in these DMs, and you know, I'm thinking of something that I want to entertain.
Yeah.
Hey, sis, you know, I haven't been in a relationship for a while, you know,
right.
And you know, he's talking nice, and it has been some time, you know. Are you okay with this?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, like, what's going on? And then she's probably like, oh, yeah, girl. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm married. I'm not even
it's
thinking about him.
Years.
You know, it's been 11 years.
That's
at least.
A long time.
At least 11
yeah,
years.
That's
so
a
it's
long
like,
time.
You know, it is what it is.
Right.
So, and she's probably like, okay, cool. It is what it is. But then they probably didn't even think about the fact, like, yo, how is your husband going to take to this?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or do we even tell him? Like,
you got to tell him.
You do,
you
but you got to remember some people are shady like that.
Because that's a horrible Thanksgiving party, right? If nobody says anything and he walks in with the sister and he knows that, you know, the other guy used to bend over his wife, you know, over the kitchen counter, right? At 11 years ago at the Thanksgiving, right?
All kinds of turkey titties out there, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so my viewpoint on this is this, kind of like similar to yours, right? Like, did they communicate with each other about it, right? And does he know, like, you know what I mean? Was the communications there? The next part is, bro, like, it's kind of been 11 years. Like, if your wife is faithful to you, 11 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Like, now her, you know, lady parts are formed to your area, not his anymore. So
yeah,
you don't
for 11 years,
right? For 11 years, he's not even a second thought for you,
yeah.
Right? I would definitely say you go in there and keep it 100%. You know, like he was some guy off the street that you met for the first time,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like you said, gauge the conversation. But the sister is going to protect her sister. The sister that's dating the guy,
yeah,
is going to protect
Jerome.
Is going to protect your wife,
right?
And they're not just going to let it just get out of hand,
yeah.
But then, you know, if it does get out of hand, then that's when you can flip some tables over and that kind of shit.
Yeah,
but that's only if they kept in touch after the 11 years, right? If it's you can gauge the conversation. If they come together and like they just saw each other last week, that's
yeah.
one thing. But
yeah.
if they coming together and they just, oh, it's been like 10 years, how you been and what's
yeah.
going on, you know, you can
yeah.
gauge the conversation on that.
Yeah.
And I hope, man, I just hope that, you know, the town is pretty small and the guy pool is pretty small.
Yeah.
And you know that's pretty much what their excuses are. You know what I mean?
Maybe you know, like I understand small town America. You know, and it happens. But you know, it's just one of those things. So hopefully there's communication. I just I just found it to be like, yeah, dude, you're okay. So let me ask you, do you think he's insecure?
He's very insecure.
Okay.
Right. I wouldn't even post it this. I would just, you know, yes, it's a weird type of thing, but I'm not gonna be upset that he's, you know, at the dinner party or whatever have you. But it's been 11 years. You kind of like
get off
your
shit.
Girlfriend's gonna have a pass.
Yeah,
she wasn't the first person that got railed by you, and she won't be the last. You might not be the last person that actually rails her. Like,
oh, shit.
Even though y'all married, let's be honest, this is the way how life works.
Pastor Johnson's treacherous, you know what I'm
right?
saying?
So,
hey, but no, so scenario, what if she told him, because you're like, you hit me with the kids part,
right?
What if she told him she was a virgin?
When?
Just
he
saying,
would,
just,
he took
just,
her virginity?
Yeah, like, the husband took her virginity. Like, I'm opening up the rabbit hole.
Oh, man, you gotta ask some questions. You get.
So
at the very least, you gotta ask some questions.
So, wife, what have you really been doing, huh?
Listen, the wife started off, but what happened was, oh man, that's a whole other.
See,
thing.
So right, yeah.
Man, listen, but at the end of the day, he is kind of overreacting because 11 years is a very long time.
Right,
it's not a short fit, and from there. I think, you know, you got to open up the communications, right? You got to be honest, like, hey, I know it's been 11 years, but it's kind of feel weird that he's dating your sister,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
he will be at the Thanksgiving this week.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And for him to say, like, hey, I'm okay with it or I'm not okay with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not. And we got to try to make, I'm not telling your sister who to date and who not to date, mm-hmm. but also just know that maybe at these scenarios, I just won't be around. So right. just going forward while they're together,
right?
When it comes to holidays, family gatherings, and all that stuff, I'm not going to him, and he ain't coming here.
Yeah, but and yeah, at a certain point, you gotta kind of you can build a relationship with the guy. You just gotta fill him out and see where he's coming from.
What if he doesn't want to? You know what I mean? Like, what if that is his hard no, and she has to respect that?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so it's like 100%. Like, hey, like I'm not okay with this, and I'm mm-hmm. being honest with you, I'm not okay with this. I don't want to see Buddy,
yep.
and I don't want Buddy in my house.
Yep.
And on top of that, I don't, well, our house.
Right, right, right.
Sorry. And then from there, I don't want, you know what I'm saying, like when it comes to the actual, you know, family gatherings and all that stuff.
Yep. Let me know when he's there. I'll be there. If he's not going to be there, then
I'll show up. Yep. Yeah. And we'll just go from there. And then from there, like, got to find a compromise because her husband just put her foot down and, like, he's not budging on it.
Right.
So it's like, it's one of those things. So, jealousy, man.
All right. So we're going to pause right there. We're going to dive deep into Black History Fact, and we'll come back to it.
Woo-hoo.
What's going on, y'all? This is your boy Lowe's coming at you with another Black History Fact for the week. This one goes out to Mr. Charlie Taylor. Charlie Taylor was born on September 28, 1941, and just recently passed away in February 19, 2022. Charlie is a member of the Washington Ring of Hall of Fame and one of the most decorated players of franchise history. He retired as an NFL leader in receptions and holds the franchise record for the total touchdowns. His achievements were recognized by the entire NFL community when he was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame back in 1984. He represented the organization with excellence and class over three decades as a player and as a coach. Charlie was a great man and be sorely missed by all. Born in Grand Prairie, Texas, he played multiple sports in high school before continuing on to Arizona State University to play football. He was picked in the 1964 draft. Taylor would go play 13 seasons with the Washington football team. Throughout his NFL career, Taylor would be selected to 8 Pro Bowls and receive a host of accolades and awards, and including the AP Rookie of the Year in his first season. Taylor helped Washington to their first franchise Super Bowl appearance in 1972 against the Miami Dolphins. Upon retiring in 1977, Taylor held the NFL record for the most receptions with 649. Today, Taylor holds the Washington franchise record of 79 receiving touchdowns and 90 overall touchdowns. Once again, the city of Washington has lost a great player in Charlie Tate. God bless him, God bless his family, and that's your Black History Fact of the Week. Peace. All right, we are back. We are back. That was your Black History Fact of the Week. DC's very own Charlie Taylor. We will miss you. All right, so we're going to jump on this, continue on this train of jealousy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to paint a picture, a scenario picture for you. And we have a situation. What if you... All right, so now social media is a big thing, right? Okay. And you're scrolling down on social media and you see an ex with your significant other's clothing on, right? How would that make you feel? Where would that take you?
I mean, the thing is, like,
it's been years, you're married now, that whole...
They don't have communication or anything.
They don't have communications or nothing like that.
Water underneath the bridge. You know what I mean? Because, like, because that's what happens in relationships. When you're with somebody, you know, your girl is always going to take your hoodie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no getting around that. And there's going to be times where, you know, if the hoodie didn't matter, you know, to my now wife, then there's a reason why she let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She didn't care about the hoodie. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. So it's just one of those things. Like, I don't see a big deal
in
that type of stuff. Now, if there is still communication, you know.
What if there's a light communication? Maybe like a once.
Like and post on Facebook and all that stuff.
Like a post. You see a Instagram tweet and you're like, oh, congratulations on becoming a fiance, getting married. Congratulations on that. You know, continue, you know, that kind of thing. It's not, yeah, it's keep it light. Let's keep it light on that part.
Yeah, I don't see anything with that. You know, my biggest thing is like, as long as those conversations don't slide into DMs or they slide into, you know, text messages and phone calls, you know, right. Other than that, it's not a red flag.
Really?
My thing is like, once when there's a line that has to be crossed, okay. Right? And like, social media is social media, right? There's people that's out there that I don't really care for that, you know, that'll comment on Jasmine's post,
right?
Comment on my post,
right?
You know what I mean? And they'll like stuff and all that stuff, but it stays there. You know what I mean? Like, Facebook is that avenue to connect with everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, it's not going to DMs. It's not going to anything else.
Right.
I don't care. You know what I mean? Just long as conversations don't go private. And maybe, say, if it is a private conversation.
Right.
But if the conversation is just a conversation for that day, so say, like, you know, you get, like, a message from somebody, boom, few going back here and there. Okay, cool. But once when things start going into becoming a habit,
yeah,
it's now every day, you know, it's like, all right, what the fuck are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
Right, hey, I got you.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I think that will fuck with me a little bit. Right? Like, at a certain point, like, you got to throw away that shirt. Like, why do you still have it? Does it mean something to you, right? Like why do you still have that shirt? Why do you hold on to it? That kind of thing. Or it could be simply something where it's like you just forgot to throw it away.
Yeah. So with the shirt. So let's explain that. So with the garment of clothing that they're wearing, it
right.
How are they wearing it? Are they wearing it like as an outfit going out to the club, like out to like a, you know, a function?
They wear it a bit. Right, and you're in the household, you see, you know, them wearing a shirt of a, let's say it's a workout shirt that they wore when they and their ex was together.
Yeah.
And now the shirt done got wrinkled and torn up and stretched out of place, but now they wear it to bed. It's a raggedy shirt, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you looking at them like, yo, why don't you just throw this shirt away? Or are you looking at them like, yo, like, why do you still have this shirt?
I mean, like if
let's say, hypothetical, Jazzy got a shirt from a previous ex. Are you looking at her like, yo, it's just a shirt? Or are you looking at her like, yo, I need you to throw that shirt away?
Now, flipping the script to the point where like it's in-house and all that stuff. Right. Yeah, no, that's not flying. Nah. You're throwing that shit out. You know what I mean? Because here's my thing.
Why is that?
Because one, it's, to me, it's a level of disrespect.
Okay.
Because I know how you got the shirt. Mm-hmm. We're now in a relationship. Now, let's not even say marriage, because even before we got to marriage, that wouldn't be flying.
Right.
Right. And it would be the same thing vice versa. Like, I knew I couldn't have a gift like a watch or bracelet or some shit like that that somebody gave me without having her blessing, saying like, hey, you know, I don't think I want you wearing that.
What if it's expensive? Would you then just Pawn it.
Pawn it, probably sell it.
Like, if somebody got you, a previous girlfriend of yours got you a diamond chain, right? They spent, you know, $8,000 for it, and they gave it to you on your birthday, that kind of thing. Are you still walking around with that chain?
It would be a conversation to be had.
Okay.
Right? And it would be something I would have to adhere to, like, what my girlfriend and or wife, like, if we're getting, let's stage relationship this thing, right? So we're just getting together, and I have this chain, and it's like, you know, it's always a conversation, but, like, the relationship isn't too serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you out. I'll probably stop wearing it less.
Okay.
But then when it comes to the aspect of the relationship's now starting to get serious and we're looking at engagement and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then we're going to sit down and we're going to have that conversation and be like, okay, why? What's going on? You know, it is a very high dollar item.
Right.
What would you want me to do?
Right.
Right. If you want me to sell it, okay, cool. It's money in my pocket because now it was a gift, you know.
Right.
And I can't fight or combat that because it's going to show automatically that I still have feelings or I'm emotionally attached to the garment,
right,
or whatever it is, right?
Okay.
So from there, and then marriage, by whatever the rule was when it came down as far as engagement, that's what it's going to be. So it's out of the picture. You know what I mean? 9 times out of 10, it'll probably be out of the picture. And that's just the level of respect that I would have for my significant other, mm-hmm. wife, you know, and go from there. You know, but on the flip side, when it comes to the person's ex, I can't control what they do or what they can or cannot do.
100%. And you're not in their household. Right. You're not nowhere near it. Right.
And I'm not saying I'm controlling my spouse or anything like that, saying like, oh, well, goddammit, you can't do this or else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But my thing is, like, I can definitely give my 2 cents on it more so than I can a fucking complete stranger that I don't even know.
Right.
So it's just one of those things.
So, I'm a little different. Like, if it's an ex and you know that, if you know, like, your significant other isn't in contact with the ex, or if they are, it's in very light passing or whatever, light conversation, like, I don't, it's just a shirt to me. It's a shirt.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
That's my thing. Like, at a point in time, like, if it was
it's just a hoodie, right?
It's like, just a hoodie. 9 out of 10, that motherfucker's gonna get fat and won't be able to fit it no more. So you have to throw it out anyway. True. Or
it's gonna get
somebody
stressed out.
Was fat and then they lost weight and now you can't fit it no more. So it is what it is.
100%.
So it's I don't play into that much, but like I do appreciate that question. Like, well, what if it's in house? Then what do you do? Because, you know, this whole I just can't get over that the sisters are sharing a guy.
Oh, what if the wife of 11 years has the hoodie from the guy that the sister is dating now, right? And
they made
shows up to the dinner party with the hoodie on because it's raining.
You remember that fucking you remember that gift that I sent y'all when the Cowboys lost the playoffs? It was like busting the beer bottle in the hand out of anger. That'd probably be me. Because just let's just make this.
And the husband don't know.
I was going to say, let's just make this so toxic. The husband doesn't even know that what the hoodie was, because it just slipped the wife's mind, whatever.
Yep.
And then the ex is like, oh, remember when I gave you that hoodie? You still got that thing? Damn.
Oh, man, that's one hell of a turkey Thanksgiving dinner talk right there.
So,
oh my God.
I've told you the story about how older generations of my family, a family member got murdered over the turkey leg. Yeah, dude. So, sorry. Kind of separate topic, but it's going to tie in.
Okay.
Tradition in my family is that people would have, you know, certain pieces of the turkey that you would get.
Yeah.
And somebody's guest came in and was like, I want the turkey leg. He was like, no, the turkey leg goes to the eldest of the family. And the motherfucker cut the turkey leg and took it. Family member took out his gun, blew that motherfucker away at the table over the turkey leg.
Shit.
So, you know, there's some things. You know, dinners get ruined at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, 100%.
Easily. So this I wouldn't say shoot the motherfucker, but Thanksgiving will be ruined.
All right, with that, we're going to take a pause here. We're going to go into the beer and cigar of the week.
Must be time for the beer and cigar of the week. But before we do, how about you revive your life? a super supplement that's been around since the dawn of time, that's been reimagined for your modern lifestyle. That powerful antioxidant found in the skin of grapes is resveratrol. What is resveratrol? Have you ever heard it be said that drinking red wine is actually healthy for you? Instead of having to drink 100 bottles of wine just to get enough resveratrol in your system, Vive has concentrated into a nice, easy, alcohol-free capsule for you, and it helped with inflammation too. Combined with 100% pure CBD, Vive has all the ingredients to help you live a lifestyle primed for health, wellness, and longevity. Hey, Big Los, give the people the website and also the code.
What up, DNH family? Go to takevive.com. That's take VYV. And in the promo code, type in DNHpod15 for 15% off your next purchase. Takevive.com.
It is time. It is time for the beer and cigar of the week. Ooh, Los is giving me a face already.
Wow.
You want to go beer or cigar first, sir?
Let's go cigar first.
We want beer. All right. Cigar. All right. So we have done this one before, I believe, last year, but I wanted to bring it back to light. I have smoked quite a few of these prior to this now description of it. Mm-hmm. So it's the Alma Forte Colorado Claro, which is the green label. We normally had the black and gold label, which was for the wedding, right?
Right.
So this is a very good cigar. Once again, the hexagonal press, where it looks like almost like a honeycomb, if you will. You don't really get to see too many cigars like this, and I think Palencia is kind of cornering that market for it. So
right.
I think it's kind of their thing, so. The Palencia Alma Forte Colorado Claro Sixtel, 2 hexagonal, is a cigar that is handcrafted in Nicaragua and features an eye-catching six-sided shape that resembles a honeycomb. From its unique 10-year-old Colorado Claro wrapper, right down to the fill of the Sixtel 2 hexagon, is packed with premium Nicaraguan tobacco. Once lit, the Nicaraguan Puro delivers delicious notes of cocoa, almonds, nutmeg, and cedar.
Right.
The Palencia Alma Forte Colorado Claro Sixto 2 Hexagono is a box-worthy stick as it comes neatly packaged in a hexagon-shaped 10-count box. Very medium strength on the smoke. And like I said, it's primarily a Nicaraguan Puro, meaning that everything, binder, filler, wrapper, is everything from Nicaragua. Amazing smoke.
Right.
I do not think this is going to go well with this beer. Just going to be honest with you.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
But it's a phenomenal smoke. It is a little bit on the pricier side. The stick probably runs you about like $20 to $25 a stick.
Right. It looks like it's worth it, though.
Definitely worth it. Definitely something that's, you know, a different type of cigar, especially when you're at a cigar lounge and people see you smoking it. It's like, yo, what the hell is that?
Right.
I've never seen a cigar shaped like that.
Right.
And then it's a very easy, mild smoke. And it's something that, like, if you want to try to start getting the quality versus, like, the regular, you know, run-of-the-mill cigars that you normally get, this is definitely one for you. So pick this one up when you get a chance. Mm-hmm. On to the beer.
Okay.
So we have Blue Heron Brewery out of Ohio. This is their Fruit and Fire.
Okay.
It is a 5.6% cream ale that is brewed with habanero and stone fruit.
Ah, okay, okay.
So, description on this is going to say that it's a cream ale, light and crisp with peach, mango, and apricot with a subtle late heat.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider that heat subtle?
Yeah. Because I'm comparing it to the Reaper. And the Reaper is the only other one with the
slap you in your face hot.
I slap you in the face hot.
Gotcha.
This is a good beer.
Okay.
I do enjoy it. The citrusy flavor of it, perfect. You said mango, apricot.
And peach.
And peaches. Yes, I definitely get all three of those. And then the heat
on the back end,
mm-hmm.
kind of like tingles the throat just a little bit.
Ooh. At the end. Go ahead. No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
It tingles the throat on the back end, which is actually makes it taste pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think it will go well with the cigar for the simple fact of the heat from this and then the heat from the cigar might
it'll clash. Yeah.
Might be a little overpowering, but nonetheless, this is good. What do I pair it with? You got to go something. I'm feeling like I like a salmon.
Okay.
I like some type of seafood, salmon, shrimp, something like that, asparagus, something like that, something with like the lemon or something like that going on with it. That way it'll complement the heat on the back end of it, mm-hmm. but you still get the fruitiness, right? You can top the lemon with like the salmon with like a honey glaze or something like that. And I think it'll go well perfectly with this.
Indeed.
I really taste that on this. Same thing, maybe like a coconut shrimp or something like that.
Okay.
And kind of go islandy. I don't even know if that's a thing.
No, I understand.
But a feel to it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And on a zero from 0 to 5, the beer, I got to give it to him. It's true to style. Everything that's said in the description, I can taste.
Mm.
It does taste like a cream ale. It does taste, you could taste the fruit on the front end, then the slight heat on the back end. They hit it on the nose. If this was the aim that they were shooting for, they hit it on the nose. So I got to give it a 5.
Okay. Nice. So for me, got to give shout out to the liquid. It is clear.
Yes.
It is incredibly clear.
Yep.
Head doesn't stick around for too long, but that's fine. You know, yeah. is what it is. This is one of those beers where you say craft beer,
yes,
right?
100%.
You know, this is not something that you would think someone to put together, right? Like for me with Libco, think of like the Plum Basil, right? Like this is one of those beers. For me, I would like to try to still taste the beer because I feel like the fruitiness still kind of overpowers the actual taste of the cream ale.
I like the fact of that though. Like I like the fact if the spiciness wasn't on the back end, I think the fruitiness
would be
alone,
there. Yeah.
It'd be a beer for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a big deal. That's just kind of like a personal preference for me.
Right, 100%.
Is light, is crisp. The first initial sip, it was like, oh shit. But now that you continue sipping and all mm-hmm. that stuff, throughout the drinking process, it's actually quite pleasant. You know, like it's kind of one of those things where like the spice makes you want to drink more,
mm-hmm.
but then boom, you start getting more spice at the back end. Yep. So it's like, oh fuck. True to style. The peach is there. Like it's very nice sweetness there. I get a slight taste of apricot and the mango just kind of hides out in the middle. Really good. What would I pair this with? I do see you with seafood. I'll probably one up you with like going the Maryland style, something with Old Bay on that bitch.
Yeah,
like
I can get that
for sure. And then I'll do your famous chicken wings. So right. Old Bay wings to the core.
Let's do
like,
it.
Like I can see that going down with this. And then when you were saying something island, I always try to do like the Hawaiian bowls,
yes.
stuff like that, like
that works
all day long.
Yes,
this goes in there.
The rice, the pineapple.
I might even throw a little bit of this on
teriyaki
to goddamn steam the rice with. You know what I mean? Like just do something to add a different flair. So I definitely see you. When it comes to the judging of this beer, spot on, clear liquid, very approachable. If you like heat, this is one for you. It's not like heat level from 1 to 5, more so like a 2, 3.
Yep.
It's more so of a underlying, like undertone heat, not like, oh my God, hot, spicy, fiery type thing.
Exactly.
I'll give this 1 of 5 as well too.
Yep. True to style.
True to style.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, good liquid, super clear. Like I can't get over that now. Like as brewing now, clarity is a thing. Like.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to certain styles, especially with cream ales, because cream ales are remotely close to lagers, pilsners. Mm-hmm. So remember, ales ferment faster than lagers. So cream ale would be your one to do if you want to be close to a lager.
Okay.
And this is fucking phenomenal,
it's
bro.
Phenomenal, right?
Phenomenal. I almost tried to belch, but this has been your Beer and Cigar of the Week.
Doing one time for me.
Woo woo!
So yeah, this is. So, Drew, how would you have them combat the jealousy in a relationship?
So, you know, rounding it out, my biggest thing is communication, right? Understand that your spouse is going to have either a hard no, a hard yes, or be willing to meet in the middle.
Okay.
And you got to be able to be flexible with all that stuff. Even when the hard no, you may think that it's childish, it's stupid, you don't get and understand that person's reasoning and thinking behind it, but that's your significant other for a reason.
Right.
And you are there for them, especially if this relationship is serious.
Right.
If it's to the point you've been boyfriend, girlfriend, and you see this person being the one, or it's now you've done, you know, said I do and said your vows in front of the Lord, it's time for you to actually understand and hear your partner out, because that's what makes them love you more. That's what makes that person fall in love with you, because you're willing to understand them and see what's going on. So the root of it all, communication.
100%, I completely agree, right? And it's communication for both parties, right? So one party got to be honest about their feelings and being able to communicate that to the opposite party, who, you know, where they feel the jealousy is coming from. And then the opposite end, right? The person that's, you know, on the other side of the spectrum needs to be open and honest and being able to communicate. So communication is key in anything, especially in this type of situation with relationship. As long as you're able to talk it out, you know, things should be able to prevail. And you got to always understand that it's you and that other person against the world.
And then
you guys
also
are on the same team.
Also, the person that is jealous, right? You have to understand that your spouse can only take but so much. You know what I mean? So you have to find a happy medium and be willing to compromise on things as well, too. And if your jealousy is a little bit overbearing or too much, you may need to start seeking out therapy, because there's probably a root to it. And we got to try to identify that and make sure that we can make life living together as, you know, husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is.
100%.
You know, a more healthy environment.
Exactly.
So, with that, this has been another episode of the Diapers and Haircuts Podcast.
Hope y'all enjoyed it.
Hope you all enjoyed it. Los, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on IG as BigLos_703. That's B-I-G _703. And then, you know, my Instagram and Twitter, they're there. TikTok is there as well. I just gave y'all Instagram. But Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok are all there. And I will get y'all the information probably next week.
Going to get him up and running again. Coming out the gates hot.
Hey,
I mean, it's been a good year so far as diapers and haircuts. You know, I handle the marketing and all that stuff, so I do apologize. But we're just trying to knock out the ring rust. The shows are phenomenal. We're going to get everything back going and make sure that DNH is out there.
Right.
But for that, my name is Andrew Dill. Follow me, well, friend me on Facebook, D-I-L-L, like the pickle.
Right.
Twitter, Instagram, Django_nerd, DJNGO_NERD. The D is silent.
Right.
From there, the brewery, Liquid Intrusion Brewing Company on Facebook. Go to our website, libcobeer.com. See all the things that we got going on, events, et cetera, et cetera. The liquid that we're trying to provide. Libco 2021, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and may the liquid always prevail.
Facts.
As far as the Diapers and Haircuts Podcast, DNH Podcast. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You got a question, you want to be on the show, you want to recommend topics, you want to recommend beers, you want to recommend cigars, you want to see what our thoughts on a certain topic, whatever the case may be, or anything over 140 characters, shoot us an email, dnhpodcast2019@gmail.com. Once again, dnhpodcast2019@gmail.com. We appreciate you so much for sticking out time, taking time out of your work day, out of your work week, your weekend, your weeknight, to listen to our podcast and see what we have to say. For that, we say thank you. And till next time, be a friend, tell a friend, like, share, and subscribe us. Peace, love, and crop circles.
Do it one time for me.
Yee, yee. I love doing the show with you as well.
Peace.
Love and crop circles.